kick ass. Want to make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
So g'day. This is going to be an interesting show. I'm actually sitting in Brisbane Airport, and I need to get the show live tomorrow. And so I'm going to do the best I can, but there's probably going to be some announcements coming over the Tannoy system. So I'm not going to do too much here. I really want to lay out a lesson, though, for this week. I believe that life, you know, kick-ass life, is all about creating great stories. And there's different ways to create stories. And yesterday, I looked at different ways that we could sort of create stories. And if what's going to happen is every time the Tannoy comes on, the announcements, I'm going to turn this off and attempt to carry on the conversation. So only because these announcements seem to be so long. But anyway, there's lots of different ways to collect stories in our life. And yesterday was a big day because Jen was able to cross three things off her bucket list. And I was able to cross a couple off, which is pretty fun when you can do that. But what was really interesting was yesterday's was a combination of many different types of adventure. One was completely free, and I want to take you on that adventure with us. We just went hiking, and you know, we're at a beautiful resort in the Whitsundays, and very easy to lay, tempting to lay by the beach or lay by the pool. And just to sort of get up and do something free. And we went hiking and exploring, and it was incredibly hot, and stumbled across some really fascinating characters in the form of bats. Just listen into this. What you can hear behind me, there's actually now thousands of bats. I'm just looking at a tree. There has to be, we can hear them. But these things are hanging all through these trees we're hiking under. I'm moving, but as they take off, they're kind of a bit menacing. They're kind of cute in an ugly way. And massive wingspans. And then as I'm hiking underneath these trees, I'm kind of scaring them a little bit. And every tree I look in fact, there's bat poop all below me. But as I look up in the trees, the tree above me right now, I'm right below them. It's just so cute watching them because you always think of bats as a nighttime nocturnal creature, but these seem very active. They're squabbling, fighting each other. Oh, there's two going at it right now. And they use their wings to climb in their legs. Halfway up the wing is like a big, big finger, like about 2 inches long. And they have feet, so they use their finger halfway up their wing like a hand, and they use it for hitting each other and for moving through the trees. But from the situation I'm standing at right now, I can probably see maybe 1,000, maybe 2,000. Hey, Jen, come down here. Look at this tree here. You'll see them. There's like probably 1,000 in this tree. Anyway, so what I thought we'd do is we'd bring you along today and all the different things we get up to. There's a few things we've got planned. And hopefully you'll enjoy this hike. We're hiking up through these beautiful handmade, man-made rock steps up and through the thick, lush, dense kind of island foliage. I'm going higher now. And now I'm looking at these bats right in the eye. I should take a photograph. I'll take a photograph. This would be awesome. Anyway, I'll check back in a minute. Wow. It's the bizarrest thing. Now I'm looking down. There's probably maybe 10,000. Every tree I'm looking into, there's hundreds. And I can see from the high vantage point I'm at right now. I may sound a little out of breath. I'm climbing pretty steep. But there's bats in every single tree. And I would suggest they are, if you went from the tip of the toe to the point of the nose, they hang upside down. They're probably about 16 inches long, maybe. Just give you an idea. But when they open their wings, they're probably double that. Maybe even more. Yeah, maybe 2 feet. Maybe a 2.5 foot wingspan, which is kind of interesting. So, you listen to the noise they're making. All right, I'll keep on hiking. I'll check in with you in a bit. So it's great to have you come along, and hopefully this is going to work out. And if it doesn't, you know, it's just one show, right? But I think there's certainly merit for it. And as I sort of figure this out, how to bring you along and include you in some of the escapades, it's awesome. But you know, as we continue hiking and up into the Whitsunday lookout and over into a beautiful bay. It was a great part of any day, and I think that so often it's easy to lay on the couch, or it's easy to not do something like that, to not make the effort, and that was a supreme effort in the heat, but so worth it, and so many things. If it was just the bats, but obviously there were so many other great things that we had from that experience, and you know, I just can't say enough of the free things that we could be doing every single day to make our life more kick-ass and to create more stories on a day-to-day basis. What do you think, Jen? How is it?
Blue.
Deep words from my hiking buddy.
No, famous, I guess, in the Whitsunday Islands is the turquoise water and a different... as the tides come in and out, it changes the bottom, so we can see 100 different shades of blue right now in the water, with the sand being white to like the deep blue turquoise. So it's colorful.
Yeah, it's a very, very pretty pretty thing. And in the shallow waters, you can see we saw probably 15 or 20 different stingrays yesterday. And one turtle just in the shallows. We just walked out when the tide went out, and we could walk out probably a half a mile. So unbelievably stunning. We're going to sit here and shade. There's a little shade shelter we're sitting under right now. And then we're going to go hiking over to
Blue Pearl Bay.
And there's Cook's Lookout over there. Again, the famous seafarer who was a corporal, and now he's a captain, Captain Cook, James Cook. When we left that, we sort of came back and just enjoyed ourselves by the pool and took a big swim. So we're back from the hike. Went to the room, threw on swimming trunks. Swimming trunks? What do you call it here?
Cozzies.
And sitting by the pool, eating some guacamole and salsa. And what are you drinking there?
A mango Bellini.
The mango Bellini, and I'm having a 4X lager. Sitting here enjoying the lazy afternoon before the next adventure starts. And we're being accosted by seagulls. Every single time anyone leaves their food, about 800 seagulls swoom in. Swoom?
Swoom.
Can we say swoom?
Mm-hmm.
Swoom in and steal them all. Anyway, we'll see you on the other side. So you can hear the wind blowing in the microphone right now. We've said Jen had a little siesta, had a little work to catch up on, and we're just planning a surprise for her this afternoon. She's never been on the Great Barrier Reef, even though she lived in Australia for 3 years. And she's never been in a helicopter. So we're combining the two things and taking her on a helicopter ride up to the outer reef. There's a pontoon out there, but we'll go and drink some champagne and go snorkeling for a few hours, and then we're going to come past back via Whitehaven Beach, which is reputedly the most beautiful beach in the world. So she has no idea. She's trying to guess a little bit because a few of the staff have messed up the surprise a little bit. So she's not sure now, but in a moment she's going to find out. She's going to be stepping into a helicopter and flying off across the ocean to the Great Barrier Reef. Over the Heart Reef, which is a famous part of the reef. And so this is going to be a beautiful afternoon. And then we have a very special surprise for this evening. So we'll see as the day unfolds. What was your name again?
Chris.
Oh, okay, Chris. So tell us about today.
Okay, so today we've got you going out to the beautiful Outer Reef for 2 hours of snorkeling at our purpose-built Outer Reef pontoon. And then after that, we're going to take you back via the beautiful Heart Reef, one of the famous icons of Australia, and finally back over Whitehaven and the beautiful Hill Inlet of the Whitsundays. So in the 3 hours, you'll basically see every icon and highlight of the Whitsundays that there is to see.
How's that feel, gentlemen?
Super excited.
So this is a story, of course, that costs money. And what's interesting about that, of course, you know, this is an expensive thing. You're in a helicopter. And I was really struggling with it. You know, it was one of those moments where I started thinking about, you know, cost reward. But then I started looking at the bucket list and thinking that, you know, my life at the end of the day is going to be a collection of stories. And then I think about the amount of money that I've wasted just on stuff that really didn't mean something as great as, you know, chartering a helicopter, flying over the Great Barrier Reef, you know, snorkeling on the Great Barrier Reef and, you know, taking the helicopter through a sunset and landing on one of the most beautiful beaches in the entire world and having this storyboard of experiences come forward. And I think, you know, for the money, you know, would it be worth it? And I struggle with that. And I really have to sit and look at myself in the mirror and say, hey, you know, what is my life really about? And how do I justify spending this kind of money on myself? And it's very, very easy to do, obviously. But I think that as I was thinking about the show and having you come along, is how many of us waste so many sort of a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit there. And then when it comes to these great bucket items that we have on our list, and we use that term, oh, I can't afford it. And I always think there's a default mode a lot of people have. You know, I can't afford it. I don't have the time. I don't have the time. I can't afford it. Which means whenever a great opportunity comes up, it's so easy to say those words and not ask the proper question. How do I afford it? You know, what do I have to give up to be able to afford this? How do I plan this into my life so that my bucket list becomes an essential part of my living being? And I think to lead a kick-ass life, that bucket list needs to be active. You could have 300 or 400 or 3,000 or 4,000 items when you start thinking of all the things you want to do, but then about attacking that list. Do you have the idea that when things are really expensive, like this particular thing, you know, you're talking about a couple of grand probably by the time you're done, to have that kind of experience. And then in sitting here today, as I look back over the experience, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, well worth it, well worth it. And even if I didn't have the money, if I'd been consciously thinking the way I think today, whether I'd saved up for it, that would have made it even richer that I'd saved up for that kind of experience to say, you know what, next year I'm going to do this thing I've always dreamed of doing. Instead of, you know, coming up with that thing, oh, I can't afford it or I don't have the time, is how do I find the time? How can I afford it? How can I find the money? So Jen, how are you feeling right now that the helicopter's landed?
So excited! A little bit nervous.
You might be nervous a little bit. Anything new?
So today we're in a Robinson 44, which is a four-seat helicopter. Really good for tourist work. Big open windows.
How many hours do you fly a week?
It varies. Sometimes you do between, say, 10 to 15 a week.
Okay.
But yeah, it just depends on when we're busy and what time of year it is.
And if you're not flying, are you doing other things? Oh,
I wash a helicopter every day.
Flying over a big pontoon that we're going to land on to do some snorkeling on the reef. Spent a couple of hours out here, so he's just maneuvering the helicopter right now. Put us in for a landing. So I'm here with Priscilla. Priscilla, why don't you tell us where we are?
Okay, we are on the Great Barrier Reef, a little section called Hardy's Reef, many nautical miles from the mainland, and it's about halfway up the Queensland coast.
Halfway up. And this part of the reef, I mean, how long is the Barrier Reef itself?
It starts at Bundaberg and all the way up past the tip of North Queensland.
So that's about 2,300 miles?
It's about that.
Is that right? And now you have this pontoon in the middle of nowhere, so obviously yes. tourists come out here and snorkel and dive, is that right?
Yeah, we get very busy in the holidays, and they come over in a big, big boat, and they come here to go snorkeling, diving, and checking out the amazing coral and fish.
There's lots here. And then obviously we came by helicopter. Is that very common, or is that you have a couple of days?
Only for the few lucky people. We get in the early morning and late afternoon.
Because we're here all on our own. There's no one else on the pontoon apart from two other people.
It's very special.
We're special just to be with you.
Yes.
I saw the gropers. Why don't you tell us about the fish? What kind of fish do you typically see in this area where we're at right now?
Very popular is the yellowtail fusiliers, the giant trevally. They're a little bit faster and feistier at times. One big common one is a groper, and he's humongous.
He's about as tall. He looked like he was as long as I was.
Yeah, he definitely is.
He's about 6 feet, yeah.
Yeah, and then we get the hump-headed Murray wrasse. And they get quite big, and then you're going into Nemos and Dories, and there's hundreds of different types.
Yeah, there's so much fish there. And now, tell me, where are you from?
Sunshine Coast.
So you came up here to work because?
It's a very beautiful part of the world, and it's very warm.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes, I like the tropical heat.
And how long have you worked on the pontoon?
Not very long, but in this area for about 12 years.
Yeah, the Whitsundays are gorgeous.
Yeah, the Whitsundays, the islands.
Yeah, well, thank you again. So we just finished snorkeling on the reef, and they have a glass-bottom boat which allows you to sit. I mean, it's almost like a submersible that's underwater, but completely glass on the bottom. So it allows you to have another type of look at the reef where you're kind of sitting back. And we're going to bring a bottle of champagne on board. Jen doesn't know that I have it hidden there, some cheese and some crackers and some champagne. And so we're going to sort of go on this glass bottom submersible. I haven't drank yet. Imagine when I drink. And we're going to enjoy the reef from another angle, sitting back. You don't realize this. I ordered you a picnic. And so we have a picnic and some champagne coming on board as well.
Oh, yay!
And so,
ends.
So look down here. Like, you'll see the...
see that big, big, big guy.
The grouper? Yeah, all right.
We're gunning it.
Awesome. Get to those helicopters.
Oh, top speed of.
Oh, here we go. He's leaving the pontoon now and heading to the helis. Yeah.
Come on. Let it go. That's awesome.
Where are you from? Where are you from?
China.
China?
China.
Which part?
Huh?
Where? Where in China?
Inner Mongolia.
Where?
Inner Mongolia.
Oh, Mongolia?
Inner
Mongolia.
Yeah.
What about the Eastern?
From Canada.
Canada.
But I like China very much. It's a beautiful country.
Have you?
Yeah. Beijing. Guilin. Xi'an. My accent. Not sure if you can hear me or not, but those rotor blades are just really warming up. We're about to take off soon, and sitting out in the Barrier Reef, a few clouds in the sky, the sun's about to set, just gorgeous. So as I sit here in the airport again with these constant interruptions, and that's fine, I really hope this comes across, and as you think back on this day, about your own days, and it doesn't matter whether you do a lot of things or whether they're free, whether they're really, really expensive, if you make them valuable to you, in other words, it's something you have to plan, and I think there is something about that, you know, if you had to save for a year and you go and do something. I know for some of my friends, I'm taking them on a trip up Kilimanjaro in February. And for some of them, that's going to be a stretch financially. And I just can't tell you how great they're going to feel. By the time they're done, it's going to be $8,000 or $9,000 or $10,000 with flights and the hiking and the passes and everything else like that. But when you look back on an experience like that in your lifetime and you collect these types of stories, and then to have that wonderful opportunity to be able to invest in my own personal history, my own storyboard, and invest quite a lot of money into something that was exceptional. And then, of course, being gifted something so beautiful. So after a a quick shower. We are now down in the lounge enjoying a glass of champagne with blueberries and raspberries, and I'm having a gin and tonic, and the chef's table and the chocolate tour is about to start, and we're looking all glowy from the sun and tingly from the experience. We're talking about, what's your highlight of the day so far, Jen? Obviously tonight's, we can't count yet, but...
The helicopter
ride?
Yeah. Seeing the grouper.
Oh, the big grouper. You never seen Jen leave the water when we were snorkeling. By the way, it's the till behind us right now. when you pointed out the grouper, it was a massive grouper, but probably about 6 feet long. Jen left the water. I think she was jet propelled.
I left like a dolphin.
Yeah, she said she was lucky she saw it before, at the end of her snorkel as opposed to the beginning. So anyway, we're looking forward to the food, and we're going to keep you with us and share the whole night experience. And it's going to be a lot of great foods, a lot of great wines, some great chocolate, and we're ready. We haven't eaten much today, so, and we've been active all day, so we're really excited.
Welcome to the chef's table. My name's Adam Bright, and I'm the chef de cuisine here on Hayman Island. So I have a very hands-on with the food. I designed your menu and did all the prep work for it. So tonight's kind of... a lot of little courses, and it's all kind of designed to kind of leave things in the boundaries a little bit, and maybe try and something you probably wouldn't maybe pick on the menu, but then when you eat it tonight, you might get a nice surprise. And these three courses have been kind of neutral with taste. This next course is something to kind of really explode in your mouth. What it is some beautiful yellowfin tuna, super fresh, sashimi grade, and I've just made a little Bloody Mary sorbet on top. And we have some compressed honeydew, and we'll just kind of infuse that with some elderflower as well. And we have some pearls of rose water and mango. The pearls we make, it's a process called spearification. And what it is we put a little bit of algae into the into the juice, which kind of thickens it. And that's extracted from red cabbage. And then we drop it with a syringe, drop by drop, into our calcified water. And that just puts a little seal around it. So you're going to get like a kind of a caviar sensation, but it's going to taste like rose water and mango. Some little snapdragons on there just for decoration, and also they're very, very nice. They're very sweet little flowers. So, yeah, nice and simple. Enjoy. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, sorry to interrupt again, folks. This is the wine for the tuna dish. So this is a Domaine Gros Nord Rosé from Provence. So essentially, you can probably tell it's a little bit light in colour. That essentially means it's only had 10 hours of extraction time with the grape skins to give it that little bit of colour. That's not to say that it's still full of flavour and acidity as well. I get a lot of dried fruits and cranberries on the nose, and it's slightly savoury on the palate. A medium-bodied style wine with a really low amount of acid in there as well. It's just not to detract from the dish itself, and also to... complement the fruit characters on the plate. That's the main sort of thought processes behind it. It was actually really hard to pick a wine for this dish, mainly because there's so many different factors going on the actual palate, on the plate as well. But the main flavours of the fruit, and also the Bloody Mary sorbet. So that's what I was sort of going for there as well. So I hope it works, and I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
As you can tell, I give you a little snippet of the sommelier. He came out many, many times, and with each course, and explained each of the wine choices and why he chose them. And of course, the chef came out, and the pastry chef came out, and it was just remarkable, their passion around food. But I thought what I'd also include in this little snippet was the conversation we had at the table. I left the recorder on a couple of times, and just to see what was happening, and there were 24 of us at the table, so it doesn't really capture all of us talking, but there was this one conversation where the Aussies were talking about the American election, and I thought it was hilarious, and also sharing a little bit about their own process around elections. So just listen in as this short conversation, and just sort of give you an idea, a fly on the wall of a beautiful dinner at a chef's table in a remote island in the Whit Sundays in Australia. Here you go.
But the state's elections, they go on and on. Sandy and I were in New York like about 9 months ago or whatever. The elections over there just go on and on and on and on, and the money they pump into them, well, just vote for Christ's sake. And over there you don't have to vote, it's not compulsory.
You have to vote?
Here we have to vote or get fined. Get a fine.
How much is a fine if you don't vote?
Julia at the moment is charging about $7,000, is it? No. About $150, I don't know, about $150 or something like that if you don't vote.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So you just vote for the marijuana party or something like that. And then you have to pay the fine.
You voted for the sex party, aren't I?
Oh.
Yeah, I think we do.
Actually, it's going to be enforced to vote, though.
Yeah, it does force the vote. But
no, but do you resent it?
No.
No. They're all the same. They tell lies,
maybe.
What's that?
Resent the choice, maybe. Yeah.
They tell lies, they promise the same things, they don't deliver. Yeah. And I'm a real estate agent, you know, trust me.
Even he's disappointed.
My name is Ronnie, I'm the pastry chef. I know this is what you've been waiting for. what we have for tonight is actually a variation of Valrhona chocolate. This chocolate is all made in France. So what I did was I made a chocolate tart with a layer of salted caramel and a bit of like a hazelnut crunch. Make a bit of that something crunchy into it. I made a mousse on top and glazed it with chocolate glaze and garnish it with Givara chocolate sorbet, and we've got white chocolate soil and guanaha marshmallows. So enjoy.
So Jen, here we sit here. It's midnight. After, how was your day?
It was epic.
Epic.
Yep.
What does epic mean?
Epic means many bucket lists ticked.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So as you recall the day, we got up at about 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
Watched the sunrise.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do.
Had a sort of a lazy morning before a beautiful breakfast.
Oh.
Champagne and orange juice and sitting
lattes.
Out right on the ocean. You had a decaf latte. And then we went for a big hike.
Yes.
Up in the mountains.
To Blue Pearl Bay.
Through all the bats.
The bats.
Huh?
Yeah.
Then we came home. We had a little siesta by the pool.
Yes.
A little swim.
A cleansing dip in the pool.
A cleansing ale.
I had a mango Bellini.
A Bellini. And then what?
And then...
The big surprise.
The big surprise. You tricked me.
Helicopter ride. To the Great Barrier Reef where you...
To the outer reef.
Where you snorkeled.
Snorkeled and saw the biggest fish of my life.
Bigger than me.
Bigger than David.
Yeah. And then what did we do? We came home, we landed on that beautiful beach. West Haven Beach.
White Haven.
Oh, the number one beach in the world, apparently. And then
with
up on the
silicon
top,
sand.
And then the top of the mountain.
And he landed on the beach for us.
Uh-huh.
And then landed on top of the island.
Another island. So we could look over this island.
Yeah.
And we sat on the top of this mountain as the sun set.
Oh, and the whole flight back was during sunset. So the day's been cyclical with the sun, hasn't it?
It's been amazing. And then what? We got changed, had a beautiful shower, and then went off to the chef's table.
Far out.
Did you realize that this kitchen on this island was the largest kitchen in the southern hemisphere up till last year?
Yeah.
Now it's number two in the world. It's massive.
Insane. Dad, you'd be impressed.
How was the food?
Incredible.
How many courses were there?
I lost count.
11,
there was three desserts.
Three desserts. The best one, though, was the implosion, was it?
It was a white chocolate
implosion
cylinder, and then they poured hot raspberry coulis, and it melted and it completely imploded. And then what was the ice sculpture?
That was pretty awesome.
It was an igloo.
The igloo.
An ice igloo with fresh ice cream inside. It's insane.
11 courses and 11 different wines. And then the tour of the kitchen, the tour of the winery. And here we are, sitting on the deck. Everywhere's quiet. You're pooped.
So pooped. That was a full day.
Was that a kick-ass
Started
day?
At 5 and it's midnight now.
Was it a kick-ass day?
It was a kick-ass day.
All right. I think it's time for a
Gotta take my swollen feet to bed now.
Straight to bed.
Thank you, David.
Good night, Jan. Sleep well.
Thank you. You too. Mwah.
So that was the end of an extraordinary day, and I, as a kick-ass life practitioner, that isn't uncommon to have an extraordinary day, create extraordinary stories within days, and I think that to be a practitioner of a kick-ass life, we are great story makers. Yeah, is that little bit of excellence, a little bit of extra, a little bit of, you know, they would say that wonderful saying, what's the difference between ordinary and extraordinary? It's that little bit of extra. And, you know, I urge you, whether, you know, you're trapped financially right now, to know that many stories don't cost a nickel. They don't cost anything. It's just the effort to get off the couch and do something you haven't done and go and discover those little nooks and crannies in your own towns, in your own villages, in your own cities that you've probably never even seen. Throw parties that you haven't thought of doing before and just, you know, get people to come together. I mean, there's so many stories to be had. And I believe that, you know, as we lay there on that final moment of our life, you know, those stories are going to pass through our mind and we'll die with a great big toothless grin on our face. And so, you know, I urge you to do that. And remember, you know, some of these, you know, with this day, there was that extraordinary bucket list items. I mean, there were 3 in total for Jen. And I think that that's a great starting point, is to have an active bucket list. But know that if there's something very expensive, just notice, that how much money we waste on small things. And what would you be willing to give up to have that? And I think of it as a real investment. I really truly do. I truly believe that, you know, we borrow money. Most people go to a bank and borrow thousands of dollars for a car that they pay back over almost their whole lifetimes. They keep borrowing more and more money for a car. Go buy an old jalopy for a few $1,000 and then go and borrow the money for an adventure or for a big bucket list item, something. Really interestingly, at the airport here, I sat next to a guy who works up in the mines in Queensland, and he was telling me about his bucket list. He wants to go to the Calgary Stampede in Canada, and he's taking 5 years with his wife to travel around Australia. They're going to retire in 3 years from now. He's got it all mapped out. He has a whole list of bucket list items that he wants to do. He wants to go to the big bike show in America. And it's great to see this guy. He's a simple man, you know, he's a laborer and worked hard his whole life. But the whole thing he talked about was his dreams that he's wants to fulfill, and he realizes he doesn't want to wait too long. So with that being said, again, I enjoyed having you with me, and I hope you enjoyed the show like this. And I send my love to you, and I encourage you with all my heart to write some beautiful stories in the coming few days and get in the habit of being a great story creator. I'll see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.